Let's open with prayer. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this day, for bringing us here to this place to worship you and to be in community with one another. We give you thanks. We ask for your presence to remain with us, that you would fill us with your love, that you would fill us with your peace that passes all understanding, that you would fill us with your spirit of goodness and mercy. We ask, Lord, that you would open up our hearts and our minds and our souls to hear and to receive your message of grace, mercy, and love. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
That was pretty good. Thank you for that. This gospel lesson is near and dear to my heart, I think. And mostly... because it was ruined for me when I was a young person. This is not a sad story, okay? It was ruined for me because I have this mind that works kind of like a cartoon, okay? Anyone else resemble that? Yeah, so I see in pictures and I imagine in pictures and I'm there and, you know, as I'm reading through the scripture, I'm imagining it. It's like watching a movie in my head. Okay, and when I was younger, geez, I don't remember how old I was. I think I was a young teenager, probably the age of my boys right now, 13. And my dad, he's a pastor. He was preaching on this text, and you know what? He happens to be here this morning. Yeah, he's right back there, covering his face. So you can all tease him after the service, because the way that he ruined this for me was quite fantastic, okay? And I have to admit that I have used this every time this passage has come up, and that is simple. It's a simple ruination. You understand what I'm saying. It's very simple, and it might seem kind of silly to you guys, but to a 13-year-old boy, it just popped into my brain, and it stuck there forever. Okay? And that is simply this, and I'm going to read it to you. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. After my dad read that, he said, "That poor woman, Annette." Why were they throwing her into the sea? Right? This like silly, stupid, right? Total dad joke, right? That stuck into my brain, and so I thought I would get it out right now, the beginning of this sermon, because I'm not going to be talking about that for the rest of this sermon. Probably. You know me. I never know. Thank you for that. I had to get that out, especially while he was here. So good. So good. There's so much in this passage. So much. It's hard for any preacher to decide on what to talk about. What do we have in here? We have John being arrested for speaking his message and riling up the common folk of the world in that area. We have Jesus taking up John's proclamation of repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And we have Jesus calling his first disciples. Themes are just pouring through my brain about what it might be like for us to be called as Jesus' disciples. Have we been called as disciples of Jesus? What does that look like? What are we doing? How are we acting? How are we behaving? What are we doing in the world? You can see it just goes. There's so much in here, but I think I've been on this frame of thought that seems to keep coming up because I think I'm trying to work it out in my own mind. And that is this whole idea of repentance. We see Jesus taking up John's proclamation. John is arrested. Jesus hears that John's arrested. He backs out of the area. He goes to a completely different area, and he begins to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near. The kingdom of heaven has come near." Must be a pretty important message, right? This repentance thing must be pretty important if it's offering people new outlooks on life and new outlooks on religion and spirituality and their the world situation around them. It must be important if they imprisoned John for that message. Jesus knows John was imprisoned. Jesus knows it's a dangerous message. But why is it so dangerous? When you think of repentance, what do you think of? We've talked about this many times. What do you think of when you think of repentance? This is where you can talk.
To turn around,
yes. To turn how far around, Vicky? The opposite way. Exactly, 180. What else? What else do you think of? Forgiveness. What would you turn around on? Like, you just turn around for no particular reason? Change your ways. Yeah, to change your ways. We often think of that like in the physical sense of things, right? Repentance, for me, repentance has always kind of been framed in my mind in a physical sense. So you're doing something wrong, so you ought to stop doing whatever it is that you're doing that is wrong or considered wrong by others' standards or others' agreements or whatever it might be. Yeah, would you say that's true? And I don't know why it has always been that way in my mind that repentance is a physical thing. Maybe it's because I've always kind of used that children's sermon of turning around and, you know, going back and forth. And so I was kind of thinking about this whole idea of what repentance is, and perhaps there's maybe more to it.
A bad attitude?
Are you saying I have a bad attitude, Vicky? That's definitely going to be part of it. Yeah, I was going to say, thank you, that perhaps repentance has more to it. Maybe there's a whole spiritual level of repentance. Maybe it's not just repenting over the things that we have done or the things that we have left undone or the things that we wanted to do but didn't do or got busy in life. And, you know, we all have those stories. Maybe it's not just all about that. Maybe repentance can go deeper. Maybe it has to do with repenting on a spiritual level. And then that kind of got me thinking, you know, what am I doing here? Repenting on a spiritual level. What does that look like? Where am I on my own spiritual level? In my own relationship with God? What does that look like? Every time you go to church, what about the days in between? You know? And I'm with you. I think we're all with you. Because we all think that. We come here on Sundays, some of us throughout the week, to do things. And we sit through worship. We listen to a fantastic sermon. It's just the best ever. And, you know, it's usually when I'm not here, right? No, I'm kidding. And we have community, and we hug each other, and we wish each other's God's peace, and we have communion with one another at the table, and we have the energy of the place just rises up, and we feel like we're on top of the earth, and we leave here feeling spiritually renewed, right? That's the word I hear a lot of you say. I feel just filled, spiritually renewed. I can get through this next week until we come back here on Sunday where I can fill up again. Yeah? That's okay. But I think, now correct me if you think I'm wrong, that perhaps we can be filled all week long. Perhaps that level of spiritual connection with God doesn't have to subside. It doesn't have to go away. We can hold on to that level. And in fact, we are called to hold on to that level of relationship with God that I'm talking about. This relationship with God that is constant, that is there all the time. It is before us. It is within us. It is around us. It is among us. Perhaps the repentance on a spiritual level comes to making the realization that we are to be connected with God. And perhaps it comes with the realization that we were never separate from God. And if we're never separate from God, because that would infer that God leaves us, and we know that the promises that Christ has made to us is that he is with us always, right? Even to the ends of the earth, Christ is with us always. God is with us always. And so if we believe that lie, that God is separate from us, then yeah, no wonder we're getting drained. No wonder we're having bad weeks. No wonder we're having bad days. How many of you have ever had a bad morning? Yeah, everyone's laughing because it's true, right? Anyone ever, never have a bad day in your life? No, I mean, it's part of our nature, right? Is we forget. We forget. And the other part of our nature is we begin to believe in this idea that God is separate, that God's only here, and we come here, we get filled, we're connected to God, and then we go away. God's not with us anymore. And it's general, all right? This is a generalized statement. And we come back, and it happens again, and we go away, and we come back, and it happens again. And the coming back is a good thing, by the way. I like having you all here. All right? So don't get me wrong. When we are connected to God, when we realize that we have never been separate from God, perhaps repentance is that understanding. And it's turning from the idea that God is separate from us. Sorry. You depraved souls. But he's always been with us. You blessed, gracious ones. Yeah, thank you. That was a joke, by the way. Thank you for laughing. I really hope I didn't offend any of you. Because it's just, we're all grace-filled, loved children of God. This idea of repentance on this spiritual level kind of blew my mind. Because I had never thought about it until this morning, to be completely honest with you. I was going to preach on something completely different, the whole called thing. But as I was sitting in meditation and prayer, I was, you know, directed otherwise. Spiritual repentance is a letting go of our fears. Any of you have fears? No? Wow, only one of you. That's amazing. Letting go of our fears and letting go of all the agreements that we've ever made, which means agreements about faith, agreements about the world, agreements about how people should behave, agreements about, you know, fill in the blank. From when we were tiny till now, we have been taught certain things throughout our life, and that has created a framework through which we view the world. And when we understand that framework and we see that framework through which we see the world, we can begin to say, wait a minute, I don't agree to this one anymore. I'm going to change that, right? We can begin to offer up some sort of repentance on that, on a spiritual level. Letting go of our fears, letting go of our agreements that are made about God, that are made about the world, that are made about Scripture, that are made about other religions and other people and the other people's ways of life. Have you noticed that we, I use we because we're all humans here, right? Yeah, we're all humans here, that we tend to judge others. Yeah, I'm going to say yeah because it's true. That we tend to project our own issues onto other people, whether we know it or not, and that we try to control the way other people live their lives. Yeah? Yeah. It's a big deal to be able to acknowledge that. It's a big deal to be able to see that. It's a big deal to be able to admit that. That's the first place to start, is admitting, right? Is admitting that I do that. I judge. I make judgments. We all do. I want to put on someone else who I disagree with the way they're living based on my framework of agreements, right? I want to make sure that they live correctly the way I want them to. Zell. I'm just kidding. That was to break the tension a little bit. Spiritual repentance is about releasing these things. It's about submitting to God's will. It's about releasing our will and acknowledging God's will, which is what? Starts with an L. Love, right? God's will is that we love. Sounds pretty simple. Humanity's will is not that. Humanity's will is to control. Humanity's will is to fear, is to put our own point of view out there and have it be right. Because whose point of view is not right? Everybody else's. Exactly. You see what I'm talking about? Richard Rohr calls this part of us the false self. It's that part that gets us in trouble. It's the part that causes conflict. It's the part that causes relationships to break down. It's the part that separates different people in society. It's like high school. Anyone go to high school? Do you remember? Yeah, high school. I barely remember myself. When I was in high school, there was the athletes. They were a group. We called them the jocks. There was the skaters. Who kind of, and I do this because I, in my mind, which is a cartoon, I see the courtyard where everybody hung out, okay? And over here was a big wall where all the jocks hang out. And then over here was the bathroom, which was kind of dirty, and that's where all the skaters hung out. And then over here was a big oak tree, and that's where all the freshmen hung out. And then over here was a corner with a curb and everything, and that's where my group hung out, the seniors. This is where we hung out. Now the context is senior year, okay. And there were groups, there were the potheads who kind of hung out in the field, right? Away from all the adults. There are all sorts of groups, and that's what we do as human beings. That's what we do, is we segregate. We break down, and that's part of our false self. That, the other word for false self could be ego. That's when we're working out of that part of ourself that is more important than anyone else. That's what happens. Conflict, segregation, the breakdown of modern society. You know, we begin to control how other people feel. Have you ever caught yourself doing that? When you're talking to someone, and they tell you how they feel, and you go, no, no, that's not how you feel. I've done that. And it's gotten me in really big trouble a number of times until I learned my lesson. When that wants to come up, go, don't tell other people how they're feeling. Beth, you said you were going to scare the chickens away this morning, but you missed them. Every time. Okay. Let me find a note, and we'll go from there. Okay, here's the what ifs. What if we kept ourselves out of it? What if we were able to let God work through us by keeping ourselves out of God's work? Have you ever thought of that? It seems kind of counterproductive, counterintuitive, doesn't it? I'm going to keep myself out of God's work so that God can work through me. No? You're shaking your heads? No? I know, that's a confusing one, right? So let's break that down a little bit. If we are constantly trying to control and trying to manage other people's lives and trying to bring our ideals down upon people because they are correct, God isn't going to be able to really do much. If we were to be able to put that side of us away, the false self, okay? If we were able to recognize it, see it. That's the first part. See it and then say, hey, I don't want to do that. Put it aside. Perhaps God can flow through much more easily. Perhaps God's work to bring in this kingdom of heaven can be much more fulfilled. Get another chance, Beth. Perhaps that could be good for us. Perhaps that is what spiritual repentance is all about, is seeing it and then acknowledging it about ourselves and going from there. Perhaps that's what being connected to God means. What if, here's the other what if, and then I'm going to leave it from here. What if we totally surrendered our will, okay, our consciousness, our awareness to God, and worked with God, rather than working against God by putting our own wants and needs on everything else around us? What if we worked with God, with the Spirit, and surrendered our will for what we want to what God wants and to what God has in store? What if we did that to further God's kingdom here in this place? What would the world be like? What do you think? Peace on earth. Yeah, it would be like, if everybody did that, the kingdom of heaven is done. Right? But it's part of our work as human beings in relationships with God, okay, to do this work, to do this inner work of acknowledging ourselves and who we are really, okay, who we are really and what we really enjoy doing, which is controlling others. I have so many stories going through my head that I want to share with you, but I'm not going to because we're at time. If we did this, we did this internal work, imagine what we could do together as a community here on this island, across the state, over to the mainland and beyond. To infinity, right? Yeah, we could do amazing work because God is doing amazing work and we could do it along with God. Who's in? Jesus would say, follow me. And you would leave all of your stuff and you would follow him. Let's pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this day. We give you thanks for being here. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to work through us. Help us to acknowledge that part of ourselves that is in need of help, that works to control, that is fearful, that only wants to be in relationship with you and to help others as well. Lord, help us to delineate between the two and help us to really grow. We thank you for the opportunities that you have given us, and we ask for more opportunities for growth as well. We thank you and we praise your name. Amen.